Good morning. We're glad that you've joined us for worship here at Greystone Baptist, where all are welcome and we're doing our best to bring the love of Christ out into the world. If you're our guest for today's online worship service, thank you for being with us and please feel free to be in touch. We would love to know more about you. Even as we maintain our physical distance, it's still easy to connect with our community by visiting us online at greystonechurch.org, and you can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And of course, you can always send us an email or direct message. We look forward to getting to know you better. As we begin worship today, let's pray together. Loving Creator, giver of life and light, as we continue on through this season of darkness, we ask for your grace in letting the eyes of our hearts and minds adjust to see how your light continues to shine in our individual lives, in our communities, and across our world. Throughout Advent, as we anticipate and prepare for the coming of Christ, let us remember that it is in the giving of ourselves that we can become Christ in the world today, here and now. Bless us with the humility and selflessness to give ourselves away without fear, allowing the Christ within to be continually reborn, so that we might bring your love and light to the darkened spaces where it's needed most. Amen.
If there was ever a time we longed for Christ who teaches us how to love, the time is now. This year, unlike most, we gather in our homes as our sanctuary remains dark. Perhaps this is an appropriate reminder for us as we move through the season of Advent, a season of waiting in the darkness.
The prophet Isaiah speaks, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior."
Even though we walk in the darkness, we await with great love for God and one another the treasure of the Incarnation.
Even though we wait in the darkness, we love, knowing that because God loves us, Christ will indeed come.
So today we light the candle of love in confidence that the darkness will not overcome. This light is our ever-present reminder that even in our darkest night, Christ will come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. With great love, your people are waiting.
Once in royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ child. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all, and his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall. Savior holy, Jesus is our childhood's pattern, day by day like us he grew. He was little, weak and helpless, tears and smiles like us he knew. And he feels for all our sadness, and he shares in all our gladness. And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above. And he leads his children on to the place where he is gone.
It's so good to see you today. It is almost Christmas. Today is our fourth Sunday in Advent. We light our candle of love. Love is always the candle closest to Christmas. It's closest to the day that we celebrate Jesus' birthday. Jesus was born as a baby, but as you know, Jesus didn't stay a baby forever. Jesus grew up, just like you grow up. And Jesus, through his words and actions and everything he did, Jesus showed people and he told people and he taught people exactly how much God loved them. And Jesus taught them to love each other too. So this week, I want you to think of ways that you can share that love with people close to you and people far away. There are all kinds of ways that you can do it. It might be easy. It might be hard. I'll tell you a story that I remember every year around Christmas. It's about a little boy named Jason. Jason was probably 6 or 7 or so when this happened, and he had been watching TV and he had heard all about kids who weren't going to get very much for Christmas. Some of them were having to live in other places because their mom and dad just couldn't take care of them. So Jason told his mom, "Hey mom, can we invite one of those kids to come live with us? I would love to have another brother or maybe even a sister." Well, Jason's mom, she thought that if she made it a little bit harder, Jason would change his mind. So she looked at Jason and she said, "Well, if we add an extra kid to our family, you're going to have to give up one of those big Christmas presents you're asking for." And she saw the look on Jason's face change. And he kind of scrunched up his face a little bit and he started thinking. And his mom kind of giggled and she said, "Yeah, you're changing your mind, aren't you?" And Jason looked at her and said, "No, just figuring out which toy I'd give him." That's when Jason's mom saw that his heart had grown so much as he was looking forward to Christmas. I bet you that your heart can grow too, and you can think of all kinds of ways that you can show love. Maybe to those right there in your house, maybe to your neighbors, maybe to grandparents or aunts and uncles that you haven't seen or talked to in a while. Maybe to someone you pass on your walk through your neighborhood or as you're out driving around looking at Christmas lights. I bet you, you can find a way to share love this Christmas. I want to hear all about it.
Seeking love, love, love is the gift of Christ.
Christmas love, love, praise to God above.
Let's pray together. Holy God, as we draw nearer to Christmas, we turn to the story of you taking on flesh and blood, a human form, humbling yourself so that you could walk and talk and live with us. As we turn the pages and open the scriptures, we find names like Augustus and Quirinius, ancient names that seem odd to today's ears. There are towns like Nazareth and Bethlehem, distant towns that we have never visited, or at least few of us have ever visited. But they are places that our hearts long for because of the one who traveled there. We gather and worship this day to hear once more a story so ancient and yet so current, so distant and yet so near. We come to hear a story of your coming to us, a child being born for us. And that child goes by so many, many names. Wonderful Counselor, Good Shepherd, Deliverer, Lamb of God, the Word, the Alpha and Omega, the Author of Life, the Bright and Morning Star, the Bread of Life, the Resurrection and the Life, the Light of the World, Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Way. But on this last Sunday before Christmas, we choose the name Emmanuel, for truly he is and forevermore will be God with us. On this Sunday, we give you thanks for your steadfast and abounding love and your mercy that has made it so. Amen.
If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Grace is here no matter where we've been. Let the Christ be born within. Living in light and darkness, in you we keep our trust. We'll let our eyes adjust. Living in light and darkness, death will be overcome because your love lights our way, leading us on. You're leading us on. Leading us on. Leading us on.
Today's reading from the Pauline Epistle is not a traditional Advent text. But as some of you may recall, last week your preacher got a little ahead of herself and went ahead and used the text that was originally planned for today. So we just had to make do. In a quick Advent scramble, we stumbled upon this gem of a text from Paul's letter to the Philippian church, the text you heard just a moment ago. It's important to remember that when Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi, he himself was in somewhat of a difficult season. Well, he was in jail. And from that jail cell, he had received word that his beloved church was also struggling. Struggling with division and disagreement, struggling with two leaders who always seemed to be at odds with one another, pulling members of the congregation from one side to the other. They were struggling because everything seemed to cause an argument and to leave people feeling alienated, isolated, angry, and downright rotten inside. Separated from his church, by great distance, fortified prison walls, and Roman imperial guards, Paul finds a way to get a letter to his people. A critical communication, a word of encouragement, a reminder of Christ, who is our best example of God's love. Despite everything that threatened to nullify his ministry and squash out the early church movement in Greece, Paul and the Philippian church found a way to make do. Throughout all of history, people have experienced hardship. And if we're able to take a long view of that history, we might be encouraged to see that despite the challenges and struggles that life often brings our way, people often learn to make do. Michael Curry, who is the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, perhaps, though, he's more famous for preaching the wedding homily for the marriage of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle in 2018. And he just so happens to live in Raleigh, by the way. He's written a new book called Love is the Way. In this book, he describes his childhood memories of sitting in his kitchen and watching his grandmother's hands as they prepared family meals. Curry's grandmother was the daughter of sharecroppers and the granddaughter of former slaves. She learned her way around the kitchen from them, taking the foods and ingredients that were available to them or affordable on their extremely tight budget, and turning those ingredients into something delicious. Living with the limited resources that most descendants of slaves knew all too well, Curry's grandmother, Nellie Strayhorn, learned as a child to use the leftover pieces of meat that white folks wouldn't touch. These were the cuts that were affordable and available. She would take these less desirable meats and combine them with greens and grits or rice and gravy to produce delicious meals that for young Michael became the epitome of good eating. It may not have always been good for you, Curry writes in the book, but it sure was good to the taste. And what it represented was good for the soul. As she cooked, Nellie Strayhorn would tell stories about her youth, recounting the earliest days sharecropping with her family, and then living under the laws of the Jim Crow South. Curry writes, Grandma's family didn't have a lot. Times were hard and sometimes even dangerous. But they always made do with what they had and whatever life threw at them. That was the phrase we would use. We made do. If Grandma's cooking was making do, then we know what making do really means, he writes. It means taking grits and making them gourmet. It means creating a meal that tastes like love feels. A meal so delicious you forget your troubles, at least while you're at the table. As Curry goes on to describe his grandmother's cooking, we all begin to get the sense that this food, his grandmother's food, was not just ordinary food. It is spiritual food as well. Much like the communion tables at which we find ourselves time and time again, the food of making do proves to nourish both body and soul, offering just a glimpse of heaven, where our human struggles cease and all that exists is unity with one another and with God. If Paul understood the struggle in the Philippian church to be one of disunity, then perhaps we might find the key, a recipe of sorts, to healing some of our own discord within his words. If there is any consolation in love, Paul writes, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind. Having the same love, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Then he reminds them of the example of Jesus, who, according to Scripture, was fully God, yet willingly became one of us, fully human, in order to show us love and compassion, understanding, and perhaps to model for us what healing might look like. Jesus, you see, took on our pain, our perspective, our struggle, not because it was a benefit to God, but perhaps because it was the only way that we could begin to see God's deep love for us. God stood in solidarity with us in the full darkness of our humanity, our sin, our brokenness, and our struggle. God became one of us not because it was good for God, but because it was good for us. God took on our human skin, our human minds, to show us how to live our lives, how to love one another, how to find unity when all we knew was disunity. God became one of us to show us how to make do, how to live a life of faith in the midst of imperfection, brokenness, disappointment, and utter despair. And just like making do is characteristic of sharecroppers and their children, making do is a vital part of Christian discipleship. Making do is knowing that heaven is far from here and yet working every moment to draw it near, to make this world look a little more like God's kingdom. Making do is recognizing that things are not at all what they used to be, but also recognizing that our shared calling to humility and compassion, that still guides our lives. Making do is living in the world with hearts open and eager to understand the cries of those who are not like us and humbling ourselves enough to listen and learn from their experiences. Making do is commitment to the gospel of Christ that knows that God can make a way where there seems to be no way. Making do is longing for a church that can meet in the sanctuary, but still thriving while church has to be online. Making do is taking grits and turning them gourmet. Making do is breaking bread at a table, but recognizing it's much more than a symbol. Making do is eating that bread as a reminder that, like Christ, we too must allow ourselves to be broken in solidarity and humility, alongside our sisters and brothers who are broken. Making do is recognizing that ordinary selflessness put into action, even in the darkest moments of life. That is the very definition of love. Nellie Strayhorn, Bishop Curry's grandmother, didn't learn how to cook all on her own. She didn't pull her recipes out of thin air. She didn't make do all by herself. Rather, she leaned upon generations of mothers and grandmothers who came before her, teaching her how to work with what she had, how to make the available ingredients and work them into something delicious, how to find ways to turn ordinary food to taste like love feels. In the same way, the Philippian church, and even Paul himself, didn't make something out of nothing when they committed to love one another in community. The foundation of love was already set by Jesus, who gave his whole life in service of the poor, the outcast, the sinner, and the broken. And then it was underscored by the disciples who continued on that same gospel mission, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, and raising the dead in Jesus' name. And then it was tried again as disciples and followers turned into communities and churches committed to one another and to living a life of sacrificial and selfless love. This is our inheritance as people of the gospel, as followers of Jesus, as people of Christ Church, just like those who claim membership in the ancient Philippian congregation. We are people of selfless love. People who have learned how to stay united in Christ's mission because we have learned how to humble ourselves, because we have learned how to regard the other as better than ourselves. This is our whole legacy. And this is all we need to make do in our current situation. Yes, things are hard. Yes, resources, they seem scarce. Yes, people are hurting and lonely and broken, but we are people of the gospel, followers of Jesus, disciples of Emmanuel, who has shown us time and time again that as long as we can have a little faith, as long as we stay the course, as long as we find ways to keep on loving each other and loving our neighbors, God will make do. As we also know, that when God does make do, it's as good as Grandma Strayhorn's gourmet grits. Food that tastes a little bit like heaven, and water that fills our souls such that we will never thirst again. Yes, things are hard. But sisters and brothers, in this season of Advent, we await the incarnation of the living God. And we wait with full confidence that God has given us enough to make do. Amen.
Place. Heaven and earth with joy night. All out of darkness we have light, which made the angels sing this night. Glory to God in highest heaven. Peace on earth and goodwill among men.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. And thank you, Greystone, for your amazing generosity. We've received commitments for 60 food boxes that the Missions Committee will deliver next week to families at Cedar Point. This past week, we delivered 10 Christmas bags to our ESL student families filled with toys, books, games, cooking oil, cleaning supplies, and the story of Jesus. You've also risen to our mask challenge of donating 400 masks for children so that they can return to school in January. We only need 67 more children's masks. This year's Christmas Eve offering will be given to the North Carolina Food Bank. By giving to the food bank, we are able to support food pantries all over our community. Through giving money, we empower this agency to respond quickly to emergency needs and situations. Usually you would simply give your offering at our Christmas Eve service, but this year is different. This year you may give online through the giving portal found on our church website, or you can mail your check to the church office. Join us on Christmas Eve as we celebrate the coming of the Christ child with a service of carols and candlelight. This year's service will be held in the Sawmill parking lot at 5:30 p.m., and we ask that you remain safely inside your vehicles as we broadcast the service on 90.3 FM. If you're not able to make it to the church, you can find a link to the live stream of the service in your church email. This is sure to be a special service you won't want to miss. And please join us next Sunday, December 27th, right here on our YouTube channel, as we celebrate the season of Christmas with a very special worship service. In next week's online service, you will hear scripture and prayers, you'll hear music from the Advent and Christmas season, and you'll hear reflections from three Greystone members on how they are finding light in the darkness. And finally, on behalf of the Greystone staff, I'd like to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
We are singing in the light of God. We are singing in the light of God. We are singing in the light of God. We are singing in the light of the light of God. We are singing, singing, we are singing, singing, we are singing in the light of the light of God. We are singing, singing, we are singing, singing, we are singing in the light of God.
As you leave this time of worship and return to your lives, receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire.